Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, what you been doing? Where you been all week? Yeah, it's only Wednesday. Yep. And it's been a little switch up as I am on vacation, but we are still making sure you get It's Due Time with Pastor Steph on Monday. Pastor Steph hung out with the Due Time crew, and we talked about this presidential race. Oh, my goodness. Now, since then, all this conversation has been going on about the comments, the racist comments, the insulting comments that have been going on. And, you know, part of me is like, well, are we really surprised? Listen, you know, this presidential race has really, really, really shown that there is very little consideration. There's very little professionalism. There's very little care and concern about just mankind. Yeah, it's really very sad. You know, a lot of things are done under the guise of I'm joking, and I don't know, I've always been a little sensitive to that. You know, people take shots at you, you know, and make themselves look good by making others look bad, and that's not something that I've come to enjoy over the years, and I think even since I was a kid, I've never cared for that. Those quote-unquote jokes that insult people, you know, poke fun at things that, you know, are people's weak spots or things that make people feel bad, and just so you can get a laugh. And again, something as sensitive as, you know, racism and, you know, prejudice and yeah, it just nothing is free from that insulting. You know, when you're ready to do something, you know, when you're ready to insult, and, you know, I don't know. But it's just that where we've gotten to. And it's like, what can you say at this point? What can you say? Let's just get to these polls on November 5th if you haven't already done so. Because, you know, early voting has definitely started taking place quite a few states, and you know, that's they're basing their who's ahead and who's behind. You listen, it ain't over until the fat lady sings. So I don't know. You know, there's so many things that we can talk about that that's important, and it just seems like we can't get away from the silly thing in order to, you know, make life better. You know, that's what we should be doing. There's so many things that, you know, we are up against in this world. And I don't know, y'all. I don't know. I'm looking here, and they're talking about the three key blue wall states. Now they're saying Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Yeah, they we don't know. They say that those states account for a key 44 electoral votes in the 2024 election. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't ever really want to, you know, hear what's going on when before the end, you know, because think about election day. Everybody's on their toes, and you know, they're crossing their fingers and saying their prayers, and you know, looking at the TV, and you got one eye open and one eye closed. You kind of peek in, and yeah. So I don't know. You know, I think the media, you know, they love this. They love this, as this can definitely, you know, get people all stirred up. And I don't know. So this is one of the things that we talked about Monday. Now, yesterday, I understood and it was it is due time world. Yeah. Pastor Jeff, Pastor Hale, and Sean had their conversation. Yeah. Where were you? Did you catch that conversation? I don't know. You know, I don't know who has the most attention these days. Harris Trump, or Diddy? Yeah. I don't know who's getting more conversation or what's more important. And, this is crazy. This is crazy. So, I don't know, but I do know one thing. It is Wow Wednesday, everybody. Yes. It is Wednesday already. We are halfway through the weekend. It's Ladies Day. The Women of Worship will be with you today. And we have our girl Vivian and her socially conscious segment. And Vivian had the week off last week, so I don't know what she's got in store for us today. But we will find out momentarily. And I don't know. I know we got something to look forward to. So go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
Stop! When You lick spoons and pacifiers, you share bacteria that causes tooth decay in your child's mouth.
Go, go, go!
These bacteria feed our sugar,
yum, sugar, yum,
and leave behind acids that cause cavities, holes, and then pain. This assault is 100% preventable. Brush and floss twice a day to keep the cavities away. Moms, it's up to you.
Healthy habits for a healthy smile.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Wow Wednesday, everybody. Yeah. It is October 30th. Officially almost at the end of the month. November. We are in the mouth of November. And where has the year gone? Oh, my goodness. But giving God thanks that we're safe. We've been brought safely through another month, pretty much. And I can't wait to see what each day brings. And thanking God for great health and fresh state of mind, because a whole lot of that ain't going around these days. Yeah, well, let me not hold you up any longer as we are getting ready to get our girlfriend Vivian, and let's say good morning to Vivian. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning. Happy Wild Wednesday. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well. Thank you, Vivian. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. We're almost at the end of the year, Viv. Where did the year go?
It literally feels like yesterday when we started this year. It's crazy.
Yes.
So time is just moving way too fast.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, you know what I always like to ask? What you got for us today?
All right. Today on Socially Conscious, we are starting off with everyone's fave, another recall. Reports say Listeria has made headlines for months, promoting recalls of millions of pounds of deli meat and other ready-to-eat meat products. Well, now this trendy organism is showing up in frozen waffles. They say Treehouse Foods, which makes waffles sold under the Kodiak Good and Gather, and many more popular brands, is voluntarily recalling nearly 700 different waffle products across dozens of brands due to potential Listeria contamination. The waffles were sold at Dollar General, Publix, Stop and Shop, Kroger, Target, Walmart, Aldi, and many other stores nationwide. According to the FDA, a full list of names of the waffle brands that have been recalled can be found or will be able to be found on Pastor Steph's Facebook page, A Coast for Christian Life. I will put that list there. But do know that a lot of the brands were store brand waffles, and those stores include Walmart and Target, Stop and Shop stores, a lot of the places that we shop at. So make sure you head over to Facebook, A Coach for Christian Life Facebook page, to get access to that full list. They're saying there have been no illnesses reported in connection to the recalled waffles. The issue was discovered during routine testing at the manufacturing facility, according to the FDA. And, of course, they say people with recalled waffles should throw them away or return them to the store where they were purchased. Refund. Next, I came across an interesting article. Reports say jaywalking is now legal in New York City. For clarity, jaywalking is when a pedestrian crosses a street in an illegal, unsafe, or careless manner. This can include crossing in the middle of the block, in front of oncoming traffic, or without using a crosswalk, also crossing against the signal lights. Legislation passed by the City Council last month officially became law over the weekend after Mayor Eric Adams declined to take action. He decided that he did not want to either sign the law or veto it. So after 30 days, it just officially became a law. Council member, a Democratic council member out in Brooklyn who sponsored the legislation, said on Tuesday that the new law ends racial disparities in enforcement, noting that more than 90% of jaywalking tickets issued last year went to Black and Latino people. The Legal Aid Society says that this legislation is long overdue. The nonprofit organization, which provides free legal representation to New Yorkers that cannot afford a lawyer, they say that police for decades have used this violation as a pretext to stop, question, and frisk residents, especially those of color. The new law permits pedestrians to cross the roadway at any point, including outside of a crosswalk. It also allows for crossing against traffic lights, and specifically states that no longer have this violation code. They're saying that pedestrians can be held responsible for any accidents caused by them jaywalking. And although they no longer have the right to make this a law, they are strongly encouraging pedestrians to cross proper for their safety as well as motorists. But again, it is no longer illegal to jaywalk in New York City. Next, we have migrant youth in the news, as news reports are saying hundreds of unaccompanied migrant minors remain on the streets, unschooled, unsupervised, or in many cases, unhoused. A 17-year-old immigrant from West Africa told his story. He says that he arrived in New York City in early 2024. He was sent to Randall's Island, an adult shelter. He says, "I am a child. I was scared in a place with no help, just isolation. Please help us. There are so many kids like me." Another youth says that they were not getting any help. He says, "I spend every Saturday and Sunday collecting bottles and cans. My biggest problem right now is being able to find shelter." Migrants and their advocates are calling attention to what they say is the city's failure to provide the youth with proper care. An advocate says these children are at risk of being trafficked, assaulted, or even disappearing without a trace. the powers that be spoke during the meeting as well. They're saying that they are fully aware of the growing problem and are doing what they can. An executive director at the mayor's office said that they placed some 3,100 unaccompanied children with sponsors, but there are still hundreds or even thousands of them out there without homes and supervision. So that does not include teenage and youth migrants on their own. There are some that are younger than these that spoke up that are out there on their own. So it's been about 2 years since this whole thing began, and this situation is still unfolding with some unpleasant reports. Last week, as we draw closer and closer to Election Day, we have in the news that people are setting ballot boxes on fire. Reports say the FBI is investigating after two boxes went up in flames in Portland, Oregon, area earlier on Monday. Hundreds of votes were burned in Vancouver, a small city in Washington State, less than 10 miles from Portland, with local media reporting that a device was stuck to the outside of the box. Meanwhile, in southeast part of Portland itself, another device was placed inside a drop box, causing a small fire. Police said during a news conference on Monday that the two incidences were connected and are very similar to an unsuccessful attempt to light another box on fire back in October 8th. Dedicated ballot boxes are used in a number of U.S. states and cities to allow voters to submit their votes early without having to wait for Election Day. In September, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security warned everyone that some social media users have been promoting the destruction and sabotage of the boxes ahead of Election Day. And Oregon and Washington are safe Democratic states in the presidential race. So as we are drawing closer, people are getting real serious about making sure that this is not going to be an easy presidential election. And unfortunately, we do not have a wild story for the week, but this has been Vivian with Socially Conscious, giving you the news that we are following. And remember, if you have any wild stories you would like to submit, please feel free to direct message me on Facebook. My username there is Vivian BM. And come back every Wednesday to find out if your story has been chosen. Thank you, as always, to our loyal listeners. And thank you, Pastor Steph.
Well, thank you, Vivian. I think the wild story is that Vivian doesn't have a wild story for this week. So we do have a wild story. Well, thank you kindly. Thank you very much. I'm sure we'll come up with something. I do have a topic. So we'll see if that'll take us, or maybe somehow we'll stumble across a wild story. So thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All righty. We got the ladies on, and wanting to say good morning again to everyone who's joining us. And let's get started with our Elder Nitisha. Good morning, Elder Nitisha.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. Good morning to all of our listeners and my sisters. How you all? How you doing?
I am well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. Hanging in there.
Good. Very good. Very good. Glad to hear. So Vivian is starting off this morning with a recall on frozen waffles. And they're actually in quite a few of our local well shop stores, Walmart, Kroger, Dollar General, all over the place. So you know, not talking about necessarily the frozen waffles, but just the fact that we have a recall on pretty much everything these days. Okay. And what does that say for our shopping, our daily intake of food, and the FDA, are they doing their job?
You know, what's unfortunate is that I remember us having this conversation. I don't know if it was in 2022 or 2020, where we had this conversation. I believe it was some recalled chopped meat or something. Something was recalled. And so here we are still in this phase of our food being recalled. And even in at that time, whether it was 22 or early 23, we talked and questioned, like, FDA, where are you? You really are failing us. And so, I mean, I think this speaks to, you know, sometimes we don't put two and two together when we hear these candidates talk about their positions and things of that nature and talking about the defunding of specific organizations within our political structure. And I think, you know, when we start listening to some of the things that are being defunded, I wonder if the FDA has, you know, already experienced some of that defunding as to why kind of withhold and hold up the standards that were once in place, or the reason why they were even established as an organization anyway. You were established to ensure our whole purpose as an organization. So, I mean, we've got to be wise. We've got to listen to, you know, what's being defunded, and not just the major candidates, but even these local candidates and that are on the ballot as well. So this is actually, I think, in my opinion, one more reason why we just got to pay attention, because it's just unsafe. It is unsafe, and we've got to pray over our food. Child, pray over your food before you ingest it. I see less people praying over their food nowadays. I'm like, you can't afford to not pray over this, because you don't know if inspected or not, so pray.
That's right. That's right. That's right, Elvina Tisha. Ooh, let's hear what our Lady Tamika has to say about our continual recalls. And you're right, Elvina Tisha, we talked about this a couple of years ago, and we are still at it. As a matter of fact, we've had a severe increase of recalls since that conversation. Good morning, Lady Tamika.
Good morning.
Oh,
well, happy. Oh, wow. Wednesday to you. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you. I'm well. Thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm encouraged. I believe I'll run on and see what the end going to be.
Not if you can't eat. You won't be running nowhere. Let's see how far you get. Oh, goodness gracious. You be crawling to see how far you going to get.
Well, when you think about these waffles, you know, I want to go back to when mom and dad, and I'm not picking on anybody, but when mom and dad taught you, you know, to cook and to take care of your own, in this household, we'll make it, you know, we got a waffle maker, we got a this, we got a that. You know, but still, when you're talking about across the board, it's concerning. If you go down to the grassroots of items, a lot of the grassroots items are not being affected. But when you buy things like pancake mix or waffles, you know, that are already created, it's like you can't leave it to anybody to ensure that you're going to be okay, you know. And I often, you know, we need a prayer police. We honestly need a prayer police. You know, when somebody gets to the table,
and, you know, everybody's laughing and giggling, and you start to take your fork and put it to your mouth. You go, woo, nope. Did you pray over that? You know, that is actually, we need a prayer patrol, you know. Honestly, every time somebody gets ready to do something, because, you know, you had one job as the FBI, one job as the FDA. Your job was to protect the safety, the integrity of what we eat, what we consume, you know, and it's not being happened. You know, stores, restaurants, you know, and so many recalls, and it's happening so quick until it will make your head spin, you know, just as soon as you say, okay, you bought this and you thought it was safe, you know. And I recall, you know, something as useful as Band-Aids. I remember there was a recall on Band-Aids. Oh, wait a minute. You know, you can't even put a Band-Aid on your skin, you know. And so it's concerning that everything, it's not just food, you know. You think it's food, you know, okay, fine, I'm safe because I only eat waffles, or that because I have a waffle maker. But, you know, we talked about eggs at one point, and I'm just like, oh, you know, all of the type of things, you know, that we could be concerned about. You now have to be just all so careful, you know, check the recall list. Don't just assume because, you know, you've got it that it's safe for you.
Absolutely. You can't get around that these days, that's for sure. Let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies.
Oh, your voice is back.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. What say you about this recall business? Is it a business to have recalls? Is it FDA trying to get their recall list up?
I think so. When I heard about it, I was like, oh, we can't even have a quick waffle now. You know, you throw it in your toaster or in your toaster oven or whatever, your microwave, running out the door. If you're working from home while you're working real quick, you can't even do that now. Like, you got to make everything, which isn't bad, you know, but it's really time-consuming a lot of the time, so I have to cook everything all the time. And it's like, well, that may have to be our safest, you know, bet, kind of doomed either way in a sense. But it's like, Dad, the waffles though.
even the waffles. Vivian, what say you? Waffles are now on the recall list. What's next? Is that the question?
Yes, every day, that's the question. Every day. We need to get back to the way God had it intentionally in the beginning. Maybe that's what he's trying to do here, because everything is being recalled. Down to the bottled water is not safe anymore. So I don't know what we're going to do.
Well, we're running out of options. Hopefully they'll get this together. You know, this, I agree with, you know, the FDA has one job. And my question is, if you can't do that to secure the things that we eat are safe, then maybe you should have another guardian of the gate. Maybe they should expand the entities of the of this government or governor or governee. You know, there's so many things to watch out for, and that's the thing. You know, maybe they didn't anticipate the job would be this large, and one person or one group could not do this job. Well, maybe you need to hire more people. I really don't know what the answer is. But all I do know is, you know, like I said, since we've had that conversation that Elder Latisha brought up, the list has gone buck wild. We've talked about ice cream, like Lady Tamika said, we've talked about Band-Aids. We've talked about the milk for the children. The formula was on the list at one point. I mean, we've had dog food. You know, we've had so many different items and areas of food on this list of recall that clearly this needs to be revamped as to how this is monitored, because, you know, thank God more people have not become ill or died from these slip-ups or, you know, these things that fall underneath the radar. We really are we're really blessed. How we don't pay over our food, I don't know, because I couldn't even imagine. That's the only thing we have. That's the only thing we have left. So, you know, whether we are praying over our food or not, it's on us. It's on us. And we better understand the severity of it all. That's all I'm saying, because this is real. Anytime we can't get waffles and know that we're safe. Jaywalking is the next conversational piece for us this morning. And New York has now made it legal. Mayor Adams is he did a nice little okie doke. You know, if I don't sign, you know, then it kind of goes away. And that's exactly what has happened. Lady Tamika, you know, they're talking about, well, you know what? That was one of the targets. You know, one way to target us, brown people, to, you know, snag you for jaywalking, and now you get to stop and frisk and annoy people. And now they don't have that anymore. What's your thought?
It's a win in some instances, and it, you know, when you're talking about it from that perspective, it's a definite win, in that, you know, I'm just crossing the street and all of a sudden, you know, excuse me, ma'am, you know, excuse me, sir, can I, you know, wait a minute, you know, I'm just trying to get to wherever it is that I need to get to, you know, and I got to be stopped and frisked by you, you know, you get to ask me questions, you get to go into my pockets, you know, and as people of, you know, black and brown people, we need to know our rights. You know, even Brother Al has had an incident like that in the past. You know, I believe that he still has the video somewhere where he was questioned in his own neighborhood. I'm just walking to, and he was on his way to the library, you know, and this woman, you know, this officer, you know, caught him and she started questioning him and asking him if she could go in his pockets, and knowing his rights, he's like, no, you don't have a right to go in my pocket. You don't need my ID. I didn't do anything, you know, and you have a right to say something. When we're talking about the safety, now I live in an area where there's a huge street, and on that street, you know, the lights are pretty stagnant, you know, and so it's very easy to cross the street in the middle of the street. As a pedestrian, it's beneficial, but I'm also a new driver. And when I tell you these people are crossing the street in the middle of the street, not paying attention, they are crossing the street looking at their phones like you don't see this great big vehicle coming your way. You know, that is the other side that I see of that, that there needs to be a caution. Then I look at it another way. As an officer, you know, who really wants to stop somebody from crossing the street? You know, when we're talking about the safety perspective, then I get concerned, because there's too many people out there, pedestrians and motorcyclists and bicycle riders, skateboard riders, that are just not paying attention, that could be a downfall.
Okay. Sharp teeth. You know, jaywalking is not talked about very often, but up until now, it was still a law and was used to get a reason to stop frisk and ask questions. Now they can't do it anymore. What's your thought?
The thought that comes to mind is, okay, good. At the same time, it's like, okay, so now let's take this win and move on to something that's a lot more important. And not that the unnecessary frisking and harassing wasn't important, but it's like they like to tiptoe around addressing the big issues. Like, okay, we gave y'all we won't penalize you for jaywalking. Now take that and be happy and shut up. Like, no, there's still other things. There's still other things that need to be addressed. So thank you for letting me know y'all are not willing to be petty if I just walk diagonal across an intersection. Thank you. But now, what about the guns that are still out here? What about you telling me I can't tell my child they can't have a sex change? What about all, you know, it's like they like to tiptoe, like, okay, we're going to give you this, now be quiet. That's what I'm hearing. So it's like, okay, great. You know, we don't have this mediocre issue anymore. Or hope that someone doesn't wake up one morning and say that this law is back in effect. But now let's also get to the bigger things that are really plaguing our everyday lives, and something that can, that has been, not can, something that has been an issue in multiple areas of our lives.
Okay. Vivian, what say you? Is this a good thing?
Not really, no. My thought, what came to my mind when I first saw and read the article is we just got through talking about the speed and how so many tickets have been issued because people are speeding in the school zones and, you know, speeding down the road. Now you got people who are now free to jaywalk. That doesn't even make any sense. And I'm very curious why Mayor Eric Adams decided to just ignore the issue at the end of the day. He didn't veto it, nor did he sign it into law. That's interesting. And yeah, there is a bigger issue with the police using that as an excuse to stop and frisk Black people and Latino people. And that needs to be addressed, not ignored. So it's very interesting how they just decided to let that all play out.
Okay. Elder Natisha, what say you?
I think, you know, all of this continues to be a problem because it infringes on the rights of people. I mean, I think, unfortunately, things that can be used for the purpose of law and order, right? Like, that is the purpose. If you go back to the original purpose of why we have police, it is to maintain law and order within our jurisdictions, our local communities. And unfortunately, the environment and the society that we live in today and how, you know, sin is just at the forefront of how we function. It is used as a weapon. It is used to marginalize. It is used to step on the rights of others. And so because of that, I think things just can't afford to be ignored. We can no longer just ignore how things are used today. No longer can we just, you know, sign things into law and just put out new rules and regulations and say, because we're trying to maintain law and order. But we have to consider how the evil intent in the heart of man can use that same thing that was meant for good and then use it as a weapon against others. And so I think that is something that that we have to consider and something for us to continue to be in prayer about.
Actually, that's the same thing that came to my mind. I'm saying to myself, okay, let's go back to the original purpose. You know, if you think about it, let's just envision everybody crossing at the crosswalk. I remember years and years and years ago when I was a little girl, you know, when you think about it, when you close your eyes and you envision everybody and their mama crossing at will. In between the cars, you know, there was a campaign, cross at the green, not in between. It brought order. And as a driver, it made life a whole lot easier because people were mandated to walk to the corner. They made the crosswalks. You couldn't miss it because they were nice and, you know, heavily painted and blah, blah, blah. They even now have on the corners the red, you know, painted area where they also have, like, I call it stubble. You know, all these things that they have done to help order and safety. Because when I close my eyes and I envision everybody walking the way they want to walk, oh my goodness, this is chaos. Because we are also teaching children that they can cross at will as well, you know. Now, as Elder and our teacher brought up and, you know, others have said, you've got them now using that, not only now, just now, but them using this as a reason to stop you and to ask you questions and to harass you, so forth and so on. Oh, boy. So now you have a bigger problem because instead of reeling in the police who are not doing their jobs properly, you now allow the chaos in the street to take place. To me, it would have been better to sign the law so that it continues to be in effect and now harass the police who are harassing. So now, does that really stop anybody? That doesn't stop the police from doing what they've been doing. They just continue to do what they do. Okay, now they can't stop you at the, you know, in the middle of the street anymore. But what does that say for the fact that they're still going to do it? Because they're not governed properly. They're not held accountable properly. They're not held accountable enough. So it's like, okay, now we have a new problem. So now you got people getting hit by a car. There was a kid. I was walking the other day. Oh, my gosh. I just wanted to pass out. There was and I didn't realize that they were all together. It was a family. So the woman is pushing the stroller, and she's ahead of the father and the little boy. And you know how when we let our kids walk ahead of us, we tell them, make sure you stop at the corner. Don't go, man. There was no governing. He just kept running and running. So finally, the father caught up to him, and he held his hand, and he said something. This is a little kid. He couldn't have been no more than about four. Couldn't have been. And he said something to him, and then they start running again. And he runs ahead, but it wasn't until, it was a while before I realized he was actually running behind the mother. So she's walking. She's not looking behind her because I guess in her mind, you've got the father back there with the kids. So I'm walking with the stroller. I ain't got to pay attention. Oh, my goodness gracious. So the reason why I brought that up is because here we have just a simple negligence of even telling a child to stop at the corner. Dude, don't go past that corner. You don't even have him telling the child that. Now, can you imagine him telling the child, cross at the green, not in between, and
Pastor Steph, be right back on.
I'm back. This is going to be a mess. This is going to be a mess. I don't think this is going to make anything better. I think you haven't approached the cops about what they're doing. You're allowing people to cross the way they want to cross. Yeah, this is not. I think they have completely lost sight of the entire goal. All right. I've been waiting for this conversation. I've been waiting for this issue to arise, as we have done many, we've had many conversations about these illegal, the migrants that are legal coming here with their children. And we've talked about the illegal migrants who have been seen, videotaped, and pictured pushing their children over to safety into the United States, and they have not been able to come across, but the children have come across. So now we've talked about previously that now all these children are here without parents. Well, Vivian brings up the story this morning about the migrant youth who are unaccompanied and unschooled, unhoused, and unsupervised, even to the degree of the youth complaining, even to the point that they're complaining that they're not getting any help. They're spending weekends collecting bottles or in all kinds of mischief. Now there's a concern that, you know, now these children who are unsupervised can be trafficked and disappear without a trace. And what are we dealing with, Shantice? What are we dealing with now?
A whole bunch of unnecessary chaos. Again, so they get sent over. We've watched footage of the migrant parents who, if they were not able to jump over the fence or crawl underneath, they just somehow pushed their child over, their children over, because their mindset was, well, at least my child could have a better life. This is not a better life. And for the powers that be that open the floodgates for a lot of these asylum seekers to come, it's their responsibility. Now, for these children who are just wandering the streets, you know, because not only do you have to be concerned about these children being trafficked, but now these children becoming criminals. We have our own kids that are from here who are breaking into bus depots and stealing buses and cars and doing all kind of stupid stuff. What do you think? You don't think that desperation is now going to help these children to become a mastermind at whatever criminal activity, regardless of the age? Age doesn't even matter, you know, at this point. So it's like, it's while you see, while you want to say yay over jaywalking, what does it matter if I'm going to get knocked over the head from my bag by a migrant child because they need to eat? So I made it across the street. But what's on the other side? Why did the chicken cross the road to get over? It's like, either way, you're meeting a problem. And it's not that the problem cannot be addressed and solved. It's y'all have to put your attention there. So what kind of peace of mind are we supposed to have as citizens, as people who are from here? How are we supposed to be comfortable with our children? You know, we keep being told, oh, at a certain age, your child can walk home from school by themselves. For what? To meet with what? To contend with what? To contend with this? We have to be worried about them contending with other American children. Now you have to worry about if your child is going to make it safe home, that they don't come up against one of these kids. You know, it's too much that's not being addressed that can be addressed. And I think that's what's digging me. It's not the fact that it can't be. Y'all are choosing not to address these things, and y'all want us to deal with it. But then y'all don't like the way we deal with it. But then us that are from here are the ones who are going to get penalized, while they will still be allowed to run the streets and do what they do.
All righty. Vivian, what say you about these unaccompanied minors?
That's a sad situation. Like, part of me is like, dang, they're just kids. But another part of me is like, why should this be our problem? Y'all send them over here unaccompanied, unsupervised, uneducated, and now we have to figure out how to help them. Why should this be America's problem? But it's just sad because America opened up the floodgates and now all of these things are happening. Even if they were accompanied, we also hear stories of the kids in public schools that don't speak English and they just sit there throughout the day. Like, all of this stuff is just, like, so messy just so far gone. Because what do you do with them? Do you send them back to where they came from? And now, you know, we don't know if their parents will be able to collect them there. Or do you leave them out here unaccompanied and unsupervised? It's just a mess. Like, what do you do with a child? You can't find their parents if they're not from here. Or it'll cost a lot of taxpayers money to now do these types of investigations for all these hundreds of thousands of kids to find their parents and all of that. It's just, it's a complete mess. A complete mess. And I personally don't know how they're going to solve this. I don't.
All righty. Ladies are bringing up some good points. That was on that T-shirt.
I also think this is a very sad situation because we, you know, I don't know who painted the picture. I don't even know where that narrative came from, that America is, you know, the place where people want to just be sending their children. And again, of course, we understand that we're much more developed in spaces and places. And so, you know, I guess that would be the reason why you would want to send your child here. I just can't imagine how a parent could say that sending your child to a place, a foreign place that is unknown, and say, go ahead, get there and survive and make it. Without them is even viable. And so we've opened up the doors to these kids. And as we've stated on a number of occasions, this was not a well thought out plan, right? We've often asked the question, who was sitting around the table to help make these decisions and to help flush out? Where were the people around the table that were able to say, you know, what's going to happen when the kids come? Nobody asked that question. No one asked that question. And so now, right, not only do we have people who are trying to survive off of the streets here, but now we also have our children who are desperate and who are trying to survive in the streets. And so, and we've talked about this. What do people do in desperation? They still kill, rob, murder,
crime.
Right? The increase of crime, the things that we're seeing, is what we hear. We should have been around the table because we sat here and talked about
and answered
that all of this was going to happen. We said it was going to happen when they first started letting them in. We literally on this broadcast
sat around mm-hmm. and we were able to talk about all of the things that we were going to see happen, and they're happening. And so while we're focusing on jaywalking, trying to figure out and making those laws and doing that kind of stuff, what we need to be figuring out is how to get these kids off the street so that mm-hmm. they do not lean into their desperation and then cause more havoc in communities. Like, this is a priority. This is a priority. Because what you're doing is you're turning our streets into jungles.
Mm.
So this is a priority.
Wow. Well, now that you put it like that, wow. Okay. Oh, Lady Tamika, as my teacher says, we're turning the streets into jungles. Vivian said it's sad. Dante says, y'all concentrating on jaywalking. What say you?
You know, this reminds me of summers. My house, my mother has always been known by my cousins as the disciplinarian. They used to call her the dictator or the boss. And whenever somebody, one of the children of one of my aunts was acting, you know, a little haywire, my house is where they went, you know. And there were a couple of summers that, you know, we as cousins, we were going toe-to-toe. I mean, we were hitting each other in the face and, you know, because it was like, okay, nobody asked me as the cousin, you know, how I felt about it. Okay, now I got to share my bed. You know, wait a minute. I'm used to having, you know, a whole sandwich. I got to share with such and such, you know. And I feel like this is another one of those situations, you know, like you just decided, okay. And the sad part about it is, you know, they are a part, you know, in some areas of the United States. So if we're talking about Puerto Rico, they are. But if you're talking about further out, they aren't, you know, and now they're here. And now I'm mad because, like, now I got to share a piece of the pie. I got to share, you know, you're giving them, you know, finances to start things in some instances, you know, and then you have areas where you just, oh, well, we don't have enough for you. So you just kind of figure it out. You just wing it, you know, and now at this point, I'm ever so concerned, you know, just even in my own neighborhood, I'm often looking at, you know, and I've seen it, you know, little children. I'm like, who is this child attached to? You ever went to a grocery store and you see it or a shopping area and you see a child and you're like looking for the parent.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in there,
mm-hmm.
somebody should be attached to this child. And the child is running and the parent is just like, you know, either shopping or not paying attention. And I'm the one that's stopping. Wait a minute. Where is the attachment to this child? You know, I see young females coming to the laundromat, and I'm like, okay, this is a child. Is this child washing clothes by themselves? Where is the, you know, the parent, you know? And that is with something like that, if I'm looking, you know, and I'm concerned, there's somebody else looking as a predator, you know, looking for a female that, you know, just on the off chance, just got here, has never been told that she's beautiful, you know, and it's only just to target her. You know, he is literally a predator looking for her so that she can sell the one thing that she has left, which is her purity, her integrity, you know, and forever be lost, you know, and that is a concern that we need to be really cautious about, you know, especially considering the fact a lot of them don't speak the language, and so, you know, it's easy to get their attention because they're looking for help. They're looking for somebody to guide them. You give them this little small petty guide, and now she's trapped in a country that she did not ask to be in, and in a country that she can't speak the language, and now she's in the system in under a guise of protection, but in actuality, it's only to her downfall. And now in the world that we live in, it's not even just her downfall. It could be hers or his.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, as I'm listening to you ladies speak, I'm like a million things are coming into my head. And I thought about when we talked about the stories where
the guardians of the gate were standing there watching these people come in, pushing these children over, and as they were taking the children, they put them on the side of the gate, of the fence, of the barbed wire. And my question was, okay, you had a bleeding heart. What did you think was going to happen when there was one adult to five kids? You knew them kids, they didn't belong to that one person, even if they did belong to the one person. So who was going to help them once you allowed them, opposed to being the proper guardian of the gate and preventing them from coming over here? The other thing that came to my mind was, even back then when we were talking, and I kept saying to myself, I have three girls. I cannot imagine going somewhere and pushing them through a door and saying, all right, I'm just going to wish for the best for you. I don't know what happened to any of them. I don't know whose hands they fell into. But all I'm thinking about is, oh, well, it got to be better than, you know, what's on this side of the door. And to me, that just wouldn't even matter. Because for me as a mother, that is the best thing for the child. I can't imagine just pushing my kid through the door. Now, can I push him through the door as an adult? Oh, I wish I could. But pushing them through the door as children, and just hoping for the best. I couldn't get that. I couldn't get that mentality. I couldn't get that. How was there solace in that? How was there? So I don't make it. Shantice makes it, and she's five, and I'm going, at least one of us made it. I don't know what's going to happen to her. I don't rest at night when my 26-year-old hasn't come through the door. So I couldn't get that mentality, and I can't get it now. And I'm saying to myself now, as a parent, you over in Venezuela doing whatever you're doing and saying to yourself, okay, well, at least Shanti's made. I know she's doing better over there. And over here, Shantice is complaining because she's collecting bottles each and every day to make it. And I'm looking at the adults who are coming through the block collecting bottles who we have to chase out of the yard in order to make it. But the children are having to do the same thing. Why does America need this problem? Why does America have to worry about its own kids and the children who don't belong here? So it's almost, I feel like Tamika just described with the mother now. It's like, you know, hey, okay, so, you know, that girl across the street, she had too many kids. Now she can't handle them all. Come on over here. Let me just take them. And now you got 100 kids in your house, and now you have the responsibility of the 100 kids in your house and all the 12 kids that were originally in your house. Now you can't find none of them. You can't really help any of them. Because of the extra ones you brought in the house. How does this work? So why is this now America's problem? Because, again, you didn't think about none of this nonsense when you left the gate open. You did not think about any of this. Now we have children running around the street, and now we're like, oh, I'm sorry, y'all. I don't want to have to go, oh, for somebody else's kid. I'm already going, oh, for the children out of here. We go to these schools to see, you know, we went to Mariah's school last week. They had a show. And there was a little girl sitting in front of me. She had a little uniform on. She was dressed neatly, but the head was towed up. I couldn't tell you the last time somebody had a comb in her hair. Now, I don't know why. She's in school dressed well. She didn't look sloppy in the clothes, but her hair. But I tell you, not a comb or brush and all these 100 barrettes in the hair. That's the one I'm looking at and I'm going, oh.
Now I got to worry about somebody else's. Oh, no, I don't want to worry about this. I don't want to see this. I don't even want to know it. So now what do we do? Because just like Tamika described, it's all of our problem now. Because whether it's the way Shantice is saying it, where somebody's going to hit you over the head, or whether it's, oh, or whether it's, okay, come on in here, let me feed you two, so instead of everybody getting five french fries, you only get two french fries. Stop! Well, I don't want to know about all of this. I don't want this. I'm sorry. We got enough of all. Listen, we looking at grown people going, oh, because they mentally ill and ain't nobody took care of them when they were kids. Mm-hmm. Nobody paid attention to the fact that they were mentally challenged or mentally ill when they were children, and now they're adults running, walking around in the street doing whatever they're doing because nobody paid attention to them when they were children. What are we going to do now? Because how many of these children are here who have mental illnesses, who have special needs? They cannot go around and collect bottles. What's going to happen to them? Who, they're going to be flooding the streets. They're going to be the ones in the crosswalk.
Uh-huh.
Beneath the car that can't see them and against the taxi driver who is speeding. It's just too much. It's just too much. Where do you go from here is the question. And I was wondering, how do you handle this? How do you handle this as a country when we can't even handle our own? And Tamika cracked me up when she said, we're punching one another. Because there's this resentment. Nobody asked you to be here. Not you in my bed. And I was comfortable yesterday. And when I looked up, here goes Pedro. You know, it's like, yo, this is real. You know, this is not stuff we're envisioning or just imagining. This is real. It's like, how do you get out of this here? It's just too much, going on right now for me. Oh, my goodness gracious. Because they're going to be every, yes.
But when you look at it, that really is it. You know, we also talked about squatters. You know, you don't have a place to live, so there's an abandoned building, so I'm going to take over it. Hey, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. That is my bed. I was – before I had a whole X, I could sleep in a complete X. Now I got to, you know, ease over. Now I'm a small letter I because I got to, you know. And it's sad because it's like, you know, I don't mind sharing, but wait a minute. That's a whole piece of pie that I got a corner. You know, and my slice is getting smaller and smaller. And so this also, when you think about it, determines our voting. This is how we get where we are. And we have got to be ever so watchful and prayerful about everything we do, everything we say, everything we post, everything we pray about, every move we make.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness gracious. Oh. Alrighty. Now I'm not surprised at this last story that Vivian brought us, because this is not the first time that this has taken place. They're setting boxes, voter boxes and things like this on fire. This ain't new. And my thing is, well, I can't speak now. I have to let y'all talk. But, okay, Vivian, you start this ball rolling with Portland, Oregon, complaining about the voter boxes being set on fire.
I don't see the point in that, because it's not like they're just going to be like, oh, this box got set on fire, let's just move on. You're just making this thing more drawn out than it already is. Like, this is the most annoying and stressful election period that has ever been in my history of voting. And it's just getting worse. It's just getting worse. And it just proves, like, what we have to look forward to if, let's just say, Trump, you know, gets into office. Like, all this stuff that is going on is just making this whole process necessarily stressful. Now we have to sit there and take time to find those people who use those ballot boxes and make sure they come back out to vote. And now we got to fight for the recount and all this stuff. It just doesn't make sense. It's not like you're helping the person that you want to be president become president. You're just making this process harder. And it doesn't make sense to me. The craziness that is going on with them beating people up at the voting offices and all of this stuff. Into office. People just need to calm down, let this thing play out however it's going to play out, and let's just, you know, cross that bridge when we get to it. All this unnecessary violence and burning the ballot boxes and all of this, it's just not, it doesn't make sense to me.
Alrighty. Overnight Tisha, Vivian says, listen, y'all just prolonging the inevitable. It is going to be what it is going to be. What say you?
I think that the political climate that we find ourselves in is actually the result of the person who is part of this race. I think, I mean, me and my girlfriend were talking about the emboldenedness of individuals. There was a time when, you know, there were people that weren't so overt with their bias and racism, but now they are overt and they are out front with it. And I think that that is a result of one of the candidates for this election, Mr. Donald Trump. I think that he has incited the type of behavior that we are seeing. Never before has there been this level of disregard and disrespect for voting. And because voting was looked at as a civil liberty that was given to people, given to us late, but it was still considered as a civil liberty that was offered. And there was a high regard and respect for it. It has been he who has come in and who has completely desecrated the entire process. And if that in and of itself doesn't already determine that he is not fit to be president, then I don't know what else does. And I don't say this in trying to persuade anyone's political stance. Your stance is your stance. But I'm talking about the fact that we have people that are as brazen as setting ballot boxes on fire. Why? To take away the vote because someone else has an opposing opinion? Because someone else doesn't see it the way that you see it? So now we don't even care about the process, due process. Now, it's all about, if you don't see it my way, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to destroy the process. This is horrible. It is horrible. And we've not seen this, and I agree with Vivian, we've not seen this level of dysfunction as it pertains to a presidential election since he became a part of it. Bad talking, all that kind of stuff, yes. Political lying, undertones, throwing dirt on each other. Yes, that's a part of the political arena. So that we've always seen. But this stuff has risen to an all-new high, and it is based on the inciting of that individual.
All righty. Lady Tamika.
I'm just looking at the tactics that, you know, would be used. You know, you think about ever since that January issue, and now we have ballot boxes being burned, you know, and the cowardice of doing things behind the scenes, or you throw the rock and put your hand behind your back. You know, it's just more and more of the blatant, if you think about it, the blatant disrespect. You know, think about just the dynamic of Oregon. Who lives out in Oregon? What is the face of the majority of the people that live in that area? You know, and to me, that tells me clearly, you know, that you're concerned.
You know, we have seen both faces, you know, and you know, it's, I don't know if it's strategically placed, but even when we look at footage of Donald Trump, you see brown faces, you see black faces right in the middle of the screen. They always seem to be situated right behind him. You know, I don't know if that's strategic or, you know, it just seems to be the seating, but I just find that ironic. And so for you to, you know, it's one of those things where it's by any means necessary, I'm going to get my point across, or I'm going to get things done, or I'm going to make things move. We've already seen the behavior of Donald Trump. And so anyone that is on his side, this, you know, this is definitely clear, say a clear move letting you know, okay, what side you're on. And we keep seeing more and more of just, you're like, how much farther can you go? How much more damage can you cause? And now at this point, you're prolonging situations because now they have to get in contact. They first of all got to go through all the ballots and then find out who's missing. Now, was it that you voted and it got burned, or did you not choose to vote at all? You know, and then trying to get in contact with these people, you know, are you going to be able to get in contact with them? What is the measure of trying to reach the people whose ballots were not counted? Will you phone them? You know, that's extra, just prolonging what could be done. You know, you have a choice. You have a right to make a decision, whoever you're voting for. Don't cause issue to make things just to prolong the process.
Shantese.
This has Trump all over it. When someone was on social media and all I heard was they setting ballots on fire, and I was like, that ain't nobody but Trump. And I don't understand how and why he is able to get away with this. Like, no investigation has to take place. I think Elder Not Teacher said already, none of this stuff happened before he ever ran for president or became president. It was none of this hood project stuff. Like, this is just like, oh, my gosh. Like, in every way and situation, in every way, in any culture you could think of a way to have their version of ignorance, he has figured out a way to pull ignorance out of any corner, any crevice of anything. And for, as it was said, for there now to have to call people back out to vote again and do all this, it's just, why is he should just be taken off the ballot. That's it. Done. That's it. And then watch, it would incite some more stuff, but then that would further prove that his name is written all over this. All over this. And it's like, why those who have the ability and the authority to take him off, to eliminate him from this process, why is it not being done? Why are they not? There's always someone over you. So why is it that they're not being investigated as to why you're allowing this to go on? Like no one has anything else to do but to sit around and just go to travel to keep voting. You know, and it's safe to say that no one looked at the ballots. They just assume he ain't winning, so they just set the ballots on fire. No one went and broke into it and read to see who was voted for. It's just safe to say he got the least amount of votes. So let's just set these ballots on fire and discourage people from coming out or have people scared. So what kind of scared is this? If you're doing this and you haven't been voted in yet, what are you going to do when you're voted in again and things are not going your way? It is so disgusting. And the ones who have the authority to eliminate him, and they are not, they need to be the ones with the spotlight on them as to why they're not making that type of move.
You know, I think I think about several things. One of the things that comes to mind is, all right, so he didn't like the results of the win when Biden won. So there went the insurgents. So they found him guilty. So he can't wait until afterwards now. So what is he going to do? He'll work before. He'll sabotage before, because after didn't work before. So now I got to start before. I don't care, like Vivian said, about how long it takes, because that's what the goal was before, to extend the process to prove that Biden didn't win. So now I'm going to attack it from the other side to prolong the process. I think about the early voting. The early voting was designed initially because of COVID. So they spread it out to enable people to, you know, get there early, and that would be less people on the day of election voting. So now people are going out early because they're like, hey, we better get our vote in now, because we don't know what they're going to pull. So we need to get our stuff in early. You know how many people I've heard say that? This here, chaos. That's what the enemy does. It's chaos. That's all he's doing. By any means necessary, sabotage. By any means necessary, cause problems, wreak havoc, kill, steal, and destroy. This is exactly what's going on right now. If you were to have taken him out of the race because he had already been found guilty, he's a criminal, you wouldn't have this problem. But because America is America, and we do things all sideways and crooked, this is why he's able to do what he does. So like Tamika said, look at the face of Portland, Oregon. Who does it appear like, you know, these people are going, you know, who are they going to vote for? So now we go after that. You know, to me, y'all should have seen this coming. I'm sorry. And why would you put anything that could be set on fire, anything that could be destroyed, you know, do like the people do, you know, with their garbage cans, chain them to the fence. You make it where it cannot be destroyed. Now, then, well, how are they supposed to think about that? Because of who we're dealing with. And you can't put just any old thing out here. Yes, everything is being done for convenience, but that's not going to work. It's not going to work because of who we're dealing with. He's a criminal with a criminal mentality. So a criminalistic mentality. So you can't put anything past him. And this is, again, to prolong things, wreak havoc. So this does not surprise me at all. It's sad, but it does not surprise me. And again, had America done its due diligence, we wouldn't be dealing with a lot of this stuff here. We wouldn't be dealing with a lot of this stuff because he would be off the ballot and it would be two sane people running. And, you know, the worst they could do is just make the other one look bad. But no one's out here actually acting like this. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know, ladies. I don't know. I did dig up a wow story for us because we're in the lateness of the hour. We do not have. Vivian, we're about to lose you. So thank you so much for your contribution today. Thank you for Socially Conscious. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you. You as well. Have a good day, everyone.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you. You
have a good day.
All righty. Okay. Talk about people who are not acting. I don't know. I won't say anything. I'll leave this to the round, to you ladies. There's a family out in New Jersey, out in Paterson, New Jersey, to be exact, and they are drinking breast milk. Her husband, you know, she's feeding her family breast milk because, A, he wanted to recover and recuperate properly, quote unquote, after a tough boxing session. They heard that breast milk was going for $5 an ounce for bodybuilders. So they thought that if he could add the breast milk to his protein shakes, it would help him, it would help him to retain muscle. They actually make, they actually use the breast milk for milk baths. They even make butter for toast as part of their daily regimen. They say it turns out smooth and silky, making a great addition to their morning toast. They insist that this is high protein and there's many benefits in regards to his training. The children will not drink it, but they do use it for butter. And they also use it because they feel that it's a natural healer for everything, including scars and all. And they have met with much criticism for their choice, but they say, hey, they're going to use it as they wish. They're not going to worry about what other people say. They say butter as well as heavy cream. They will make it into heavy cream as well. And this is the way to go for them. Now, yes, we know to each his own, so we don't have to go down that route. The question is, with all the recalls going on out here, is breast milk a consideration for you and your family? Maybe, Tamika, we're going to start with you because we may not have you for the duration of this particular morning. What say you for you and Brother Al?
Ironically, before you even said that, that was the first thing on my head. I said, well, she, you know, she's trying her best to make sure that the family is taken care of. You know, I have talked, Al and I have spoken ad nauseum about the things that are going on in this world. And he's talking about, you know, raising chickens and, you know, I think it's goats. You know, if we have any grass, we don't have to worry about getting a grass cutter because the goat can eat the grass. And I said, on whose property? Because I'm not taking care of nobody's chickens. I'm not going out there feeding no goat. You know, I'm looking for the house keys. The goat done ate it. I'm not going through all of that type of stuff, you know. And we're talking about her trying to ensure, I guess, the family's safety. But you think about the body. You know, we often talk about the body. We talk about eating healthy and those type of things. What is that doing to her body? The human body, especially the female body, is not supposed to reproduce for lifelong. If that was the case, then, you know, I would have, you know, breast milk forever, you know. But, you know, think about her body and then the health of her family. You know, I know of a woman who nursed until her child was almost two, you know, and she looked good, but you're talking about the body, you know. The body was not created to do that, you know. And, you know, we're talking about the shortages. Look at our world, the shortages of breast milk out there. And instead of you giving it to a needy mother who could use it, this is what you're doing, making butter and
you know, and those type of things. I'm not consuming any of that, you know. And just the health, you know, like, you know, you looking at the, you gotta know that milk looks, you know, that butter looks a little different. And I'm like, you know, you go over to their house and you cook yourself, and you, would you like butter? And you look over at the butter, and it, you know, Shanti's and I are always cringing about certain things. And in my, not just in my body, I'm cringing in my soul, just the whole idea of consuming. Mm. Ah, oh, Jesus, please help us all.
All right, Shanti, I just need to follow. I need to follow that with you.
Whose breast milk is it?
Hers.
Who's her?
The wife. The mother.
So,
well, where
wait,
were you when the story was going on?
I'm listening to the story, but I'm like, whose breast milk are we supposed to be drinking? The
okay,
yo,
so,
mama.
Okay, so here's the interesting part.
So at 39, I'm supposed to be drinking my mama's breast milk? I just want to make sure I'm understanding the story right. Like, I'm not trying to be funny.
This is why Elder, my teacher, did not follow Tanika. This is exactly why. Because I said, we can't end with Shanti. At least my teacher's going to bring some sanity to this conversation. I know.
This is sanity. I'm trying to make sure I'm answering correctly.
You did not hear that there was an infant. You're correct. There is no infant being breastfed more than the family. This is a family affair.
No. Why? How is that even supposed to go? Like, I was like, oh, Ma, just drip some of that in this glass for me real quick. No. I'm just going to have to do without the calcium, if that's the case. No. What? So my mother gets pregnant because that's the only way she can produce breast milk. And now everybody, so now that's never-ending pumping for her because everybody needs cereal or everybody needs the milk for the cornbread mix or everybody needs, no, mm-mm. I don't want to know that this came out of your bust like that. I'm all right. You don't have to just go around that. And why is this a consideration again? Because of all the stuff or all the recalls?
No. That's not. The husband started. Wait. Vivian sent in a comment, so I got a little distracted. Okay, wait. So it started because they found out that breast milk was going for $5 an ounce for bodybuilders. So since he's training for boxing, he felt that this would be a great source of calcium for his training. Now, they figured out that they can do the butter as well. And somehow or another, they did some research and found out that it has great healing properties. And thus, that's how it got extended for multiple uses. But it initially started with the husband thinking that this, or feeling that this could be a great source of calcium that would help his muscle build. It would strengthen his muscles.
Right. So he heard it was selling for $5 a gallon or whatever. Whose is he buying?
No. He didn't have to end up buying because his wife could produce her own.
Oh, okay, because she was already pregnant. All right. Yeah, no. Still no thank you. Mm-mm. That was way too much pressure for everybody in the house. Way of now people arguing over who getting the next pump of milk and all that. No. It's just too much. It's too much.
Well,
too much pressure.
Tanika, that's the fight. That's the next fight for the people, the kids in the house. who gonna get the breast milk?
Oh my god,
too much. So now the infant doesn't get it because you need it for bodybuilding. You need it for cornbread mix. You need it for cereal. You need it. So the infant gets nothing. Now the infant has to now go to the Similac because everybody else in the house is dominating the breast milk. No, it's too much. In addition to me being 39, knowing I'm drinking my mother's breast milk, I'm all right.
Vivian says, we don't need this to become a thing, and now you have women being trafficked, raped, and impregnated in order to sell breast milk.
Yep.
That's how they do the cows. Now humans wouldn't be treated any better. You know what? As crazy as that is like so true. Because this world is just that crazy. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
This world is just that crazy. Oh. Elder Natisha, wrap this up for us, please.
So, this has been something for quite a long time. People who understand the benefits of breast milk and feel like it's the more natural thing to do as opposed to introducing cow milk to the human system. And then as of lately with the lack of FDA regulation around our food and, you know, and how food and products are brought into the marketplace, people are taking it upon themselves to find other ways. And so there's hormone therapies that a woman can have to replicate the increase of estrogen in her body that kind of stimulates the same type of reproduction of milk or production of milk in her as if she was pregnant. So there's hormone therapy that women can use to have this done. And so, I mean, there's a mixed crowd, right, around this. There are those who feel like, you know, this is something that is normal and healthy because it is from us. Like, who normalized us drinking cow milk, right? It becomes a question. Who normalized that? Like, milk and pours it in a cereal and they accepted that as a norm. When in actuality, we are introducing a foreign substance into our human body. And so then you have those that are saying, why would I take from a cow and as opposed to just taking from my own body and doing the same thing that we do with all of the products that a cow provides for us? Why would I not do that with my own body and ensure that it is healthy and so on and so forth? Here's, you know, my thought around this. I think with even all of the things that has been stated about how we are able to pervert a thing, I think the problem with all of the topics that we've discussed today is that in our sinful nature, we find a way to weaponize and to pervert a thing. That if this is something that we actually discover is good and could be useful for us, unfortunately, it will be something that people will want to mass produce and then take and start snatching women in order to just create a whole market for breast milk. And then we'll have a factory of enslaved women, in order to produce. Because of the greed and the gluttony and the sinful nature of humanity. And so I think if there's anything for us to consider, it is simply how much we need God and how sinful of a nature that we have, because our ability to take anything that could potentially be good, that could be good. What she's doing for her family, that could be good for her and her family. If it's not painful for her, if it is, you know what I mean, something that is natural and they are all able to thrive from it and there are benefits, which is why women are encouraged to breastfeed, there are nutrients in, and especially if she is healthy and eating healthy, there are nutrients in it. And there are benefits for her because it delays menopause. Like, so there's some goodness to it. The problem is our sinful nature and our greed and our gluttony and our ability to take something that could be natural, that could be good, and turn it for evil. And it is that thing that we constantly have to pray against.
All righty, ladies, you've done it again. Woo! Giving everybody something to think about. Thank you so much for your contribution into today's conversation, and we pray you all have a blessed day.
Thank you. Have
a blessed day.
Good, ladies.
Thank you. Woo! Boy, I tell you, this news never ceases to amaze me. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Ephesians 6:23-24. As with all of the topics today, I was left with a multiple list of thoughts. As the ladies were speaking, one of the things I thought about was, I'll never forget, years and years ago, I had a girlfriend who was breastfeeding her son. And she ended up going to the doctor. And I can't remember what the complaint was. But no. She took the baby to the doctor because the baby was consistently ill. And they couldn't figure out what the baby was ill from. Well, finally, after asking a million questions, she said, "Stephanie, you don't even know how long we were in this doctor's office before. Something ended up being said that was like so, as far as they were concerned, disconnected." And come to find out, it was her breast milk that was making the baby ill. And a lot of women, and she said, "Stephanie, I felt so bad," she said, "because here I am thinking that I'm doing the best thing for my baby. And here I never realized that my eating really mattered. What I ingested really mattered." All she knew was she was told that breast milk was the best thing for the baby. It was better than Similac and Enfamil and blah, 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 blah. All of these things on the market, and she wanted the best for her baby, and she was in good health, and blah, blah, blah. But no one ever bothered to tell her. She never did any further research to find out what she needed to do or not do to ensure that this method that she had been told and promised, and that it would be good for her body, because they also say, like, your stomach will, you know, go back to its regular form. That it definitely helps to with the elasticity in your stomach and health wise for women to recover from, you know, having a baby would be the best thing would be to breastfeed. So this is all that was on her mind, and all she thought about was, how had this baby been ill for so long? It was just thing after thing after thing after thing, and she had been eating hot sauce and all kinds of spices and salt, and she wasn't the type that abused her body, but she didn't take care of it well enough so the baby could be well and best benefit from this breastfeeding. That was one of the first things I thought about. Of course, the husband and the other children drinking this breast milk, eating this butter, and, you know, he's making smoothies and protein drinks out of the breast milk
Of course, they're not going to be as affected as an infant would be, but I find it very hard to believe that if she didn't take care of herself, that it would not affect the others. He's thinking, okay, I need this for muscle mass, muscle building, muscle this, that. But if she doesn't take care of herself, I just have a hard time believing that it would just not be the best benefit they all think this would be. Because, again, even the kids are using it for healing scars and things like that. Well, if you don't take care of your body's not going to take care of you. So, therefore, I'm thinking that, you know, my little pea brain, I say, well, she would have to definitely make sure she's taking care of herself, because she has to make sure she's taking care of herself for the baby that she needs to breastfeed and for the rest of the family who she's feeding with this breast milk. I also thought about, okay, so you got to be taking something to, when Tamika was talking about, you know, your body is not made for this type of, this level of breastfeeding. I'm saying to myself, well, they must be giving her something or some supplements or some shots or whatever it is. And lo and behold, Elder Nitisha talked about the hormone therapy. But before even Elder Nitisha brought the hormone therapy, as Tamika was talking about, you know, they got to, just your body's not made for that. I'm saying to myself, is it, even if this were to be of benefit to your family, is your body made to mass produce breast milk? It would probably, as with everything else, some would, you know, it would be okay for some. It would not be okay for others. Everything does not work for everybody. My thought was, when Tamika was talking, and I'm like, well, if they got to do something to help her produce this breast milk, is that going against what our bodies are supposed to be doing? Man has come up with a whole lot of things that benefit, quote unquote, us. I thought about when I have a woman that I know who started using the patch for birth control, and one of the things she said is stop your cycle. And I said to her, I said, well, we were always told, and, you know, medicine develops every day. We were always told that your cycle is a cleaning method for your body. What happens when you stop this cycle for 6 months? Because that's what the patch did. I said, so why, if it's helping me with birth control, why did it have to stop my cycle? Why does it work? It works. You know, but is that for our body? Man is coming up with a whole lot of stuff that can help us with, you know, making our bodies do this or that. Is it best or better for the body, for them, for the protein and the butter and the healing and all of that stuff? Is it better than the cow's milk? If you know, maybe it is. However, what comes to my pea brain is our bodies, are our bodies prepared for that? Are our bodies designed to produce milk for the family? Do I want some type of hormone therapy or, you know, anything that's going to make my body do something that it's not designed? Now, I don't know. I won't be the first to say I ain't been no research. This is what I found today, and we're talking about it. So I don't know if the hormone therapy has been, you know, cleared. Look at the FDA clearing some other stuff. We can't eat properly and not die. So I don't know if I want any type of product or whatever to produce or to do this or do that. I know you do the hormone therapy when your thyroids have, you know, been adjusted and modified. And, you know, so a whole lot of stuff is going on. But at the end of the day, in my brain, I ask, okay, so yes, y'all can do all of this, but is that the design for my body? Do I now want to make this happen
Is it going to be worse at the end of the day than us just using regular milk? So now they've got oat milk and they've got soy milk and they've got almond milk and they've got all this other kind of milk. Is that not good enough? And now I've got to take something in order to make my body make more of breast milk to feed my entire family. Is that the original design for our body? I don't know. And unfortunately, I look at all the other things that they are doing. Look at the Semaglutide thing where they got the Wegovy and the Ozempic, and this is supposed to be this initial diabetic med, but because it helped you lose weight, now everybody was taking it for weight loss, and the people who needed it for diabetes couldn't even get it for the diabetic cure or the treatment, rather. And now look at what they're saying, that it was that people are coming away with liver damage and other damage to your organs, all because I just don't know. I just don't know if that's what I want to do. If I'm supposed to be breastfeeding my baby, then let me just breastfeed my baby. And I'm sorry, honey, we want to find another way to get this done with your muscles and all of this kind of stuff. You know, is happening, you know, improving. I just don't know if that's what I want to do. Now, you're also talking about a person who has been very ill since 2009. And I've had to go through some things. I just told somebody last night, I had to sit in a hyperbaric chamber breathing 100% oxygen in order to help heal my body from the inside. I've had to go through things. So for me personally, adding things when there is another way to get it done, I'm a little funny about that. So I'm not saying that they shouldn't do it. But that's just thought that just came to my mind. And like I said, it seemed like this was one particular morning where everything that Vivian gave, I had like several thoughts on. And you know what? Let us go to God. That's the biggest thing for Stephanie. Go to God and see what is he advising? Because even if it was good for Mary to feed her family from breast milk from her body, would it necessarily work for Shanti's? Would it not work against Shanti? We don't know. Everything is not for everybody. So I think if we seek God for what it is that we're supposed to do, and I'm not saying this family has not sought God. Please do not think that I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying overall, they mentioned God in the article. So my thought is maybe they haven't. But I need to seek God for everything I do. Now, other people don't, and that works for them, and that's okay. But for Stephanie, that's my creator. That's the source of my decision-making, and that's where I'm going. You ain't put nothing in my body. You ain't giving me no nothing if it's not going to help me. And we already taking medicine that's supposed to help us and end up making us worse and have all kinds of side effects. So go to God and see what he says about everything you do. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit as you go through your day. Be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, the ladies, for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to accept Christ in your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God spares, where it's Therapeutic Thursday. Until then, I love you.